Unfiltered.
Broadcasting live from West Wichita in the KQAM studios. It's time for your weekend kickstart with Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is Kansas Talk right here, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM, 1480 on the AM dial, 99.7 HD4 on that FM dial. If you have your smart radio, you can listen to us in high quality definition. Also, our friends out in Garden City on 1240 KIUL, the Big Talker out there as well, covering the entire southern half of the state of Kansas. So great to have you with us here on the program as usual. 316-721-8255, 316-721-TALK on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. Got a lot to talk about in a short amount of time to do it. Today's program, a little bit different, special one. This will be an abbreviated version of Kansas Talk, so to speak. As coming up in just a little bit, we have some college basketball. As you know, if you've been following it, if you're interested in any way, shape, or form, it is college basketball tournament week before the big tournament that happens next week, which we are covering all the action between us here on KQAM and our friends over on Wichita Sports Station, KGSO. That's 1410 on that AM dial. So we are out today at 9:45, which gives us just about a half hour for you and I to hang out before we're done, wrapped up, and all over with this. And you'll be able to listen to the American East Championship, that coming up with pregame at 9:45. Just to give a little plug, by the way, over on our sports station, KGSO, you can tune in over there. We have games going on really all day long. We have the ongoing Big Ten basketball tournament. Games number 11 and 12 with their pregame starting at 11:45 and then at 2:30. We also have over on KGSO today the Big East Conference Championship and the Pac-12 Conference Championship. So a lot of different tournaments going on there here on KQAM. Obviously, the American East coming up in a little bit, and the Conference USA Championship that will be played at about 7:30 p.m. tonight with tip-off. So a lot of basketball going on. By tomorrow, some other games. We'll have another game here, the American Athletic Conference, that we'll be broadcasting here on KQAM. There's definitely a lot of things going on that front. Next week, just to give you a little teaser, hint, hint, wink, wink, that we will be carrying on our sister station, KGSO, we will be carrying the entire March Madness basketball tournament. Yeah, so if you like any of that stuff, I've heard that that's the time when guys try to take off for different operations or, you know, getting vasectomies or whatever. Like, the vasectomies always arise this time of year, so that way they can sit at home and actually watch the basketball tournaments, which I think is quite hilarious. I don't care. I don't watch basketball, so I don't pay attention to it other than to make sure it stays on the radio properly, as my programming duties consist of me. But I will be paying attention for those, and I will fill out a bracket, which starting on Monday is a little teaser as well. We'll have more information out on Wake Up Wichita Monday morning, but we will have our brackets out with KQAM, KGSO, Hank FM, and our Western Kansas basketball brackets as well. More information coming out on that with Monday through Wednesday. You'll be able to fill out those brackets. All right, well, enough of that. We'll talk about some more of that in just a little bit as we get cut off a little bit early today for Kansas Talk. Until then, we got a lot to talk about. We will play our interview with Congressman Ron Estes at the bottom of this hour to wrap up until we go into our pregame, as we sat down with him a few days ago talking about the appropriation bills being voted on in Washington, D.C., which it sounds like we've passed it just about all of them except for one, the Department of Homeland Security, where they have are talking about, at least passing a continuing resolution through the end of the fiscal year for that appropriations bill. So overall, we've passed 11 out of the 12. Not bad for the first time that we've done so since really the Obama administration. So we'll get his take on that in just a little bit. First and foremost, though, I want to shift gears and talk about some fun legal issues going on in the state of Kansas. And we've had him on before, but excited to kick off the program right out of the gate here. He's the litigation director and general counsel for the Kansas Justice Institute, Sam McRoberts, where, if you remember a few weeks ago, there's an ongoing now federal lawsuit of the Cozy Inn in Salina, the hamburger joint. Anybody see it? Anybody ever been there? Show of hands. Anybody been to the Cozy Inn? They're in the middle right now of a federal lawsuit because of a mural that they were trying to paint on the side of their building. And apparently the city of Salina said, not allowed to do it. You need to take that down. And right now the Kansas Justice Institute is in the middle of that lawsuit in federal court for the First Amendment and freedom of speech rights for freedom of expression. So to talk about that and more, happy to have on again, he's litigation director and general counsel from the Kansas Justice Institute. It is Sam McRoberts. Sam, how are you, my friend?
Great, Andy. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Really happy to have you back on here. I appreciate you jumping on and chatting about this because this is we love talking about, obviously, freedom, the different freedoms and expression of freedoms that we have, especially in Kansas. And it always boggles my mind and surprises me when we start seeing some of these cases pop up here and there. But this one in Salinas is kind of interesting. Talk about what's going on here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we are trying to help out the Cozy Inn. And for anybody who has driven around Salina, they've probably been to the Cozy. It's this really cool landmark restaurant that's been around for more than 100 years. Steve Howard operates the Cozy, and he wanted to paint a mural. So that's what he did. He hired a local artist to start painting. And the painting's really cool, Andy. So what happened was he wanted to paint some burger-esque flying saucers piloted by aliens attacking the Cozy with blasts of ketchup and mustard.
Oh.
And so for anyone who's ever been to the Cozy, they know that every burger is famously served with onions. And so part of the mural said something to the effect of, don't fear the smell, the fun is inside. So they start painting the mural, and by Monday, city officials come in and said, you can't do that, and just put the... just told them to stop doing it, which was, it's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. What's the reasoning that the city's giving here? Now, I mean, obviously I could understand if it was a public building, you know, if it was actually a city-owned building or a county-owned building, you couldn't obviously make a mural that would be against it unless the city would approve something like that. But this is a private building, and while it's entertaining, what would be the reasoning for the city to say that you can't do that to your own business?
Yeah, so the city takes the position that if a mural pertains to a business, then it's actually not a mural, it's a sign. But if it does not pertain to the business, then it's not regulated. So if Steve had decided to paint chicken nuggets on the side of his wall, blasting, you know, barbecue sauce or something like that, well, then under the city's rationale, that would be an unregulated mural. So for some reason, they created this distinction that's really nowhere in the city code. And said, so, well, because the Cozy, you serve hamburgers, and because there are hamburgers on the side of the wall, that's not a mural after all. It's a sign. And what's crazy to me is Salina has some really cool murals downtown. If anyone who's driven through there, you can see the mural at the mill. The city really supports murals, but only the murals that it likes, only the murals that it favors. And that's the problem here, because really, this is a content-based discrimination on speech, and there's no justification for it under the First Amendment in our view.
Yeah, that's very strange. Even if it wasn't considered a quote-unquote mural but was considered some type of advertisement, my question would be, so what? I mean, it's still the building of a business that's trying to advertise itself, and it's doing it in a mural, artsy kind of way. I don't understand why there would or should be a difference between whether it's a mural of they painted, you know, the Statue of Liberty on there, or whether they painted a hamburger as a mural on a hamburger joint's business. Like, that's kind of weird how they try to differentiate between the two.
Yeah, it is strange. And I think, though, this isn't really, sadly, new. In other words, I think there are some cities around the country that have taken kind of a similar point of view, but that's really an outdated view. It's not consistent with the First Amendment. It's not consistent with some free expression. And so that's why we filed this lawsuit. And Andy, we're clear about this. We don't file lawsuits for money. What we do is we file lawsuits to protect constitutional rights. And so that's what we've done here. We're not suing the city of Salina to get damages or anything like that. But what we're doing is suing to protect Steve Howard's and the Cozy's right to finish that mural. They have every right under the First Amendment to finish the mural. That's what the First Amendment protects, and so that's why we filed this lawsuit.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about some of the other, you mentioned some of the other murals in town. So like you said, obviously the city enjoys murals. It's a great way to try and showcase local artists and showcase what you have to offer as a town. And obviously being close to the highway and the freeway there, that you have a lot of tourists and you want to attract people to come to your area. So what do some of the other murals in town actually look like?
there's a lot of different murals. I think that's what was so interesting is once you actually get into Salina, you drive around, it's not like there are just a handful of murals. I mean, there are murals practically everywhere in the downtown area. And so you've got murals of a fox, you've got the State of Kansas, you have Amelia Earhart, you've got the massive mural at the mill. That's the one that's more than 100 feet tall. And so from our perspective, it's really strange that the city thinks that a 100-foot mural is acceptable on the side of a grain site, but a smaller mural that depicts a whimsical mural that depicts, you know, hamburger UFOs, it doesn't work. There just is no real guidance or anything like that baked into the code.
I'm thinking there's a hatred on UFOs and aliens. That's my guess. That's what we're going for here.
Right.
That's what I'm going for. We're talking with Sam McRoberts. He's the litigation director and general counsel for the Kansas Justice Institute. The city of Salina did release a statement on the issue saying, quote, "The city of Salina has been very deliberate and consistent in its regulation of signs in the community in light of the applicable case and law regarding the standards by which signs and commercial speech may be regulated. The city believes its sign code and administration of the sign code are compliant with the volume of court cases that exist on this topic. Over the last decade, the regulation of signage and public art has been increasingly challenging discussion for communities across the U.S. because of different opinions on what is art and what is commercial signage." So trying to differentiate between the two, but I mean, I guess I reiterate the question is, if it's on a building that's a private business, then I don't know why it would matter whether they label it as as some type of art or some type of commercial signage, because either way, it's their private business to do what they want to with it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're hitting home a really important point. And I think that the judge really, or the jury here, is going to have whether or not Salina is violating the First Amendment. And so we think that the case law supports our position, which is the city cannot decide based upon a mural's content whether or not it's allowed or it's not allowed. Yeah. That is a very clear First Amendment. So with the city inspector has to walk up, look at a sign, read the sign to figure out whether or not it complies with the code or not. That's a content-based restriction on speech. And the Supreme Court has been very clear about that is presumptively unconstitutional. Yeah. That cannot stay. From our perspective, the volume of case law supports us, not the city of Salina.
Yeah, so the mural is, what, halfway done right now? It's still sitting there just kind of in limbo, sitting on the side of the building right now?
Yep, it's just sitting there. It's half painted. If you go to the cozy, you'll see it. It's just sitting there. You'll immediately recognize that it's half painted.
Wow, very fascinating. So what's the next step in the court? Obviously, you guys filed the federal lawsuit. Where does this case go from now, and how long do you expect this to go through the process?
Well, because it's a First Amendment case, we think it'll move pretty quickly. But really, it's up to the city of Salina to kind of figure out how they want to respond to the lawsuit. And so that can take a lot of different ways. They can just file what's called an answer, which is where they admit or deny certain allegations. And so really, the ball's in their court to figure out how they want to deal with this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this one turns out, because depending on the results of this lawsuit, and let's say hopefully you guys are able to win this one with the evident case that it is a First Amendment speech, that they can just put whatever they want to really on their building like that. Do you think, set the precedent for other potential cases like this, not just in Kansas, but around the region as well?
Yeah, this case has a lot of implications for the First Amendment and for murals and speech of business owners. It's going to have a very big impact, not just in Kansas, like you're saying, but throughout federal court. We think that this case is perfectly positioned to kind of address some ambiguity in First Amendment law and help clean things up. And so I think the Cozy Inn and some hamburger UFOs are actually going to be setting some amazing precedent here in the 10th Circuit and beyond.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Have we had a case like this before in Kansas about challenging this type of freedom of speech accusation?
We have not run across a case that is exactly similar to this or even close to this one. So
interesting.
We think that this is a very important case. It's going to impact how cities regulate signs, how they regulate not just the city of Salina that's doing this, or other cities around the state of Kansas that have unconstitutional sign codes. So this is going to be a hot case, for the next for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, kind of definitely keep an eye on this one for sure. It's an interesting one. The mural on the side of the building in Salina, Kansas. You can go and check it out right now at the Hamburger Joint as well, which is really neat. But this one moving through the courts, and hopefully we can see the wrapping up of this one here relatively soon. It is Sam McRoberts, Litigation Director and General Counsel for the Kansas Justice Institute. Sam, keep us posted on this one. It's a fascinating topic. We'd love to get you back on again real soon.
Yeah, will do. I appreciate it.
You bet. Right back here on Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Welcome back into the program. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Our friends out in Garden City as well on KIUL. We're just all over the place, man. You can also find us on our Facebook, facebook.com/1480KQAM. Follow us on there. I did not do, by the way, a video stream today because, well, we're so short that there's really no need to put up the video and then take it down oh so quickly. But you can always find us, follow us on there. You can watch the video for Wake Up Wichita. You can find our Voice of Reason show on there each and every day, and so wonderful to have you. Thanks again to Sam coming on the program. An interesting conversation. Your thoughts with the mural in Salina. Is it okay? Is it the right for freedom of expression by having space alien hamburgers on the side of a building, which I think is hilarious? Well done. Well done. I got to give you props on that one. That's pretty impressive. Or is it a nuisance to the city, and the city has the right to tell you what to do in your private business to not go down that road? I find that kind of interesting. We'll follow that story as it continues on. Hey, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but coming up on Tuesday in the state of Kansas is officially the presidential preference primary. Now, that being said, we've already hit the delegate threshold for both candidates on the Republican and Democrat side, Donald Trump surpassing the 1215 delegates that he needs to become the official nominee. So we have our presumptive nominee already, but does that deter you from actually turning out to vote? Do you still want to turn out and make your statement, make your voice heard, and actually show your support for Donald Trump? Or are you just going to reserve that to show up in a few months for the actual elections later on? Well, early voting has officially, or is at least starting today. It's officially started right now as of 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Sedgwick County early voting is officially up and at it. So if you want to go and vote today, you have the opportunity to do so. If you want to know where your closest polling location is, you can go to the website at sedgwickcounty.org/elections, and you can look at the polling places near you for that early voting across the area. But the early voting is officially up and running, and you have an opportunity to make your voice heard, whether you want to show up in that staunch voice and, yes, I'm going to support, or you're just going to wait until the general election. I am curious of how many states are going to see a lower voter turnout for the presidential preference primaries because we already know who the candidates are, so what's the point in turning out? I myself, though, still think it's kind of a cool idea for you to show up and make your voice heard, and you need to do so just because you can, and I enjoy voting to get my little sticker that says that I voted. Speaking of elections, KQAM still having their election rally coming up. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm telling you, Thursday, April 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. You can get off work. You can head out to Lavella Event Center, which is a great venue. What a beautiful area out there. You can have dinner. You can listen to a panel discussion. You can do a meet and greet. And you can get a book if you want to as well with the book tour of nationally syndicated talk show host Todd Starnes, Twilight's Last Gleaming, which a little plug here, we will be chatting with Todd Starnes on the program next week, so don't miss that one. But he's officially launched his Twilight's Last Gleaming book tour. We are on the docket. He's been so giddy to come out here to the city of Wichita, and we're doing it, but we're partnering it to make it an even bigger event. It's not just Todd Starnes. It will be Todd Starnes along with a guest speaker from Americans for Prosperity. They're partnering with us on the event as well. And yours truly, I'll be moderating it. I will also be doing my 4 p.m. Voice of Reason program live out there at Lavella. And Todd Starnes will be co-hosting the program with me, which is really neat. So you can come out early and see us do the program. You can do the meet and greet, have some dinner. You can buy the book. You can listen to the panel discussion. You can get all fired up and get ready for election season, which is going to be really cool. And you can do all of it for $20. That includes the dinner, by the way. It does not include the book, but it includes the dinner. Tickets are going, so don't miss out on the opportunity. Go to facebook.com/1480KQAM and you can get your tickets from Eventbrite, or you can go right directly to eventbrite.com. You can search KQAM Election Rally, KQAM election rally at eventbrite.com, or find the link on our Facebook at facebook.com/1480KQAM. Click there, purchase your tickets now because they are going and we have limited seats available at that event center. Don't miss your opportunity. It's KQAM and Americans for Prosperity with our election rally of 2024. Lots more coming up here on Kansas Talk. Stay here.
It's Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, it is. Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's big talker, KQAM, plus our friends out in Garden City, Kansas on KIUL. So great to have you. Happy Saturday morning. Bit of a shortened program for you today. We got just about another, 10 minutes or so before we get into basketball, as it is obviously basketball tournament season. And coming up on KQAM, just in a few minutes, we have the American East Championship. That will be going on with pregame coming up at 9:45, so we got a few minutes here. For that few minutes, I do want to play an interview as we wrap up this week with the appropriations process in Washington, D.C. It sounds like most of the appropriation bills are just about all passed in Washington, D.C., except for the Department of Homeland Security. That's one appropriations bill that, according to the media, says, quote unquote, fell through because of some of the details. And therefore, we are looking at a full-on continuing resolution just for that appropriations piece for the rest of the federal budget. But we sat down with Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th Congressional District here in the state of Kansas a few days ago to talk about that appropriations process. And this is what he had to say. There's a bigger issue, though, and I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because you had another op-ed coming out of the Fox News talking about federal debt and how bad that is, but also talking about personal debt. We've talked a lot about that on the program as well, because we can complain about the government spending out of control all they want to, but Congressman, we just saw the numbers about how credit card debt is working up to be one of the largest household income debts that we see across the nation. Student loans obviously being a major issue. People aren't downsizing or cutting back on their lifestyle with inflation up still near 20-30% compared to the past 3 years under the Biden administration. We're just spending more to try to compensate for that, and it's not doing us any good. How important is it to actually focus on, our own personal budget while we complain about the federal government spending out of control?
Well, it really is important. And the issue is, and I say this over and over again, is inflation such a scourge, and it's a scourge particularly to middle income and lower income folks, because they have less discretionary spending or money that they have available to pay for the needs that you have, whether it's food, whether it's rent, whether it's gas for your car. Wealthier individuals can handle inflation a little bit better, but the number one goal ought to be to keep inflation down so that we don't have this ongoing tax. And the Biden administration went completely the opposite direction, and they threw out all this spending plans and started spending so much money in his first 2 years in office, and now we've been reaping the consequences of that since then. And if you look at where inflation is since President Biden came into office in January of 2021, the actual cost of living has gone up over 18%. So basically, you're paying 18% more for the same goods, for the same carton of eggs, for the same, gallon of gas, the same rent, on average, it's 18%. And so what people are getting strained by is they're having to use their credit cards to actually buy groceries. Yeah. And to focus on the day-to-day things. And that's going to set the stage for, some terrible consequences when you have to pay next month's credit card bill and also buy groceries for next month.
Yeah, it just piles up, and eventually you're not going to be able to get out of this thing. And they don't care. They just say, well, look at that. And they use it, like we saw in the fourth quarter, they use it and say, well, look, that Americans are spending more money, that there's no recession going on, or we're not anywhere near a depression. We're not doing any of that because look at that. The American people are spending money, but it's spending money on debt that's going to come back to bite them, and the bubble's going to burst at some point. And we're going into, Congressman, the summer season right now where gas is going to start going up. We're going to start going on trips again, and the normal summer cycle is going to happen to where we're not going to be able to control this bubble that I think is going to burst, I think, before the election. They can't contain this any longer.
Yeah, it's been remarkable to see that the Americans have been able to sustain this for so long that they have been. And basically they've run down all their savings. I mean, part of it was savings were built up with a lot of the COVID stimulus money that was thrown out. But now almost all of that's gone, and people are paid through all their savings. They don't have enough money for, you know, an emergency to be able to offset that if they have an illness or have a car breakdown or something that they need money for. And it's going to have some devastating consequences on a lot of Americans.
Yeah, it really is. Got a couple of minutes left here with Congressman Ron Estes, the 4th District of the great state of Kansas. Being on the Ways and Means Committee, obviously you have a hands-on ability to work on some of the budgetary stuff, the appropriation bills like we've talked about. But where are we at with the push to try and fund Ukraine and Israel right now? That conversation kind of dropped off a little bit after the immigration bill that failed in the Senate just a few weeks ago, where they tried to partner it with that. When the immigration bill fell, then they tried to push Ukraine and Israel funding standalone on its own in the Senate. That obviously didn't go anywhere. And Speaker Mike Johnson said that would be dead on arrival if it made it to the House as well. So are there still conversations, and how close are they of ramming that through with some of the appropriations you guys are working on right now?
Well, I think there's conversations, and I think we need to be having conversations about what we do as a world leader. But what Speaker Johnson's driving, and I'm supportive of him in this process, is that let's talk about protecting Ukraine's borders. Let's talk about protecting Israel's borders, but let's also talk about protecting the United States' borders.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that the President Biden doesn't want to own up to. He doesn't want to face that. So it's we're having a difficult time getting through to the Democrats in the Senate and the White House that, you know, we can look at the role of America as a leader, but we also need to make sure that we protect and defend our country as well in that process. And so it's for some reason they just don't want to admit that. They don't want to engage in that conversation. And until we address border security, it's hard to say that we should go protect borders in other countries.
Well, no, and it's wild, Congressman. We saw it during the State of the Union, was that while even, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, while, you know, people can say whether that was called for or not during the calling out, during that conversation and yelling at Joe Biden about the incidences that have happened here, that Joe Biden has blamed Republicans for not passing a bill. I'm sorry, Congressman. I thought that he's brought in over 10 million people for the past three years in his administration. And we find out that he's flying people into the country in the sums of near 300,000 as well. They're already here. What bill could we have passed to have stopped what happened here just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, the issue is the president does not need any new laws in order to protect the border. President Trump did it with the current laws. It's President Biden who made the choice to go out and issue these 60, 70, 80, 90, depends on which number of executive orders you want to include in the mix, that's actually sent the signal around the world that you should send people here. Yeah. And we're seeing gang members coming in, we're seeing Chinese nationalists, we're seeing people from countries all over the world, not just Mexico and South America, but they've been given the signal by the president's administration that they get a free rein to come here. And it's if he would just reverse all of his executive orders using the existing laws, we could protect the border.
Yeah, what a mess. We need to get it addressed, and I know you guys are working hard on it. We got just about 30 seconds left here, Congressman, but what's on the slate immediately now? You've passed a few of the appropriation bills. When do you think the next round of voting is going to be on those, and is that the priority right now for you guys in Congress?
Yeah, so the next six appropriation bills are due March 22nd to be addressed by then. So the next 2 weeks are going to be pretty busy talking through that dynamic. And then, you know, it's time to actually start the process for the 2025 budgeting and appropriations process. And so our budget committee went ahead and met yesterday. We still don't have the president's budget proposal, but we proposed the 10-year budget that balances. And so we're starting that process in light of no support from the White House.
That is good news. We're already 6 months into this fiscal year's budget. So whatever appropriation bills you guys are working on now, we should just use them for 2025 and just get ahead of the game. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's That's good. Actually, what I'd like to do is get the spending down on 24 so that we can also then drive it down for 25 as well.
Yeah, what a concept. It's Congressman Ron Estes right here from the 4th Congressional District of the great state of Kansas. Congressman, it's always great to talk to you, my friend. I've enjoyed chatting with you so much. Keep up the fight in Washington, D.C. We'll do it again real soon.
All right. Great, Andy. It's good talking to you.
That again, Congressman Ron Estes from right here in the 4th Congressional District. That does it for us today. College basketball coming up here on Wichita's Big Talker KQAM and KIUL in Garden City. Until then, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you on the radio.